All right. Appreciate your prayers for our family this week.
As we adjust to another person in our household, and my wife's parents have been here all this week, and appreciate your prayers also for her brother. Her brother was here. Jenny's brother was here this week, and it was good to have some time with him, and he had to go back yesterday, but I just continue to pray for him and his relationship with the Lord, really a need for that, and so appreciate your prayers there. Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're continuing on in these verses in the book of Romans mainly that we're trying to memorize, and this is the next one. And it's important for us to keep in mind the overall message of the book of Romans. And so I keep going over this every week, but I think it's good. First three chapters of the book of Romans show us the need for the main subject in Romans, which is justification by faith, that sinful people can be declared righteous by God. And Paul declares the theme there in Romans 1, 16 and 17. And then he goes on to show how people need that. Gentiles need that. Jews need that. And then in the later part of chapter 3, he shows how that can be provided through Jesus Christ. And God set forth Jesus Christ to be the propitiation of our sins. And through faith, by faith, we can receive justification. And then Paul goes on in chapter 4 to show an example of how God had dealt with Abraham in the same way. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. God imputed righteousness to his account. And that's the same way he does with us as well, through faith, through belief. And then chapter 5, we looked at chapter 5 last week, the first two verses. Paul makes a transition there to show the blessings of that justification. And then in chapter 6 and 7, Paul deals with some objections to this idea that he's teaching with the fact of sin. Does that mean we can just sin however we want? And of course the answer is, God forbid, may it never be. And Paul has to show in Romans 6 and 7 how we deal with sin, even in the life of a believer. And then we come to chapter 8, and we come to verse 1. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Here's our text this evening. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In the 1830s, there was a career criminal named George Wilson. And he was indicted during that time on 6 counts of obstructing and robbing the U.S. mail, including threatening a carrier with bodily harm and violent assault to a carrier, wounding a carrier. And that violent assault at that time carried the penalty of death. Andrew Jackson was the president at that time in our country, and there was rising pressure to not use the death penalty for that particular crime. And so Andrew Jackson, responding to that pressure, issued a pardon for that assault conviction for this man, George Wilson. And that pardon meant that he wouldn't receive that penalty of death. Even though he was guilty of that penalty of death, he would not receive that penalty. And just as Andrew Jackson issued that pardon, allowing that criminal to be free from punishment, our text here, Romans 8:1, speaks of the pardon from punishment that is available to us by God. A pardon. And we see here in this text that we can receive freedom. We can be pardoned from the death sentence of sin. you can be free from the death sentence of sin. And I'd like us to consider that death sentence, and or really that freedom from that death sentence of sin. We see here in this text that that's possible. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And I'd like to point out three things about that freedom. Look at, first of all, the object of that freedom, what it is that we are free from, we can be free from. And then, secondly, the character of the freedom. And then, thirdly, the recipients of the freedom. So let's consider, first of all, the object of that freedom. What can we be free? What can we enjoy freedom from? And that is, in this text, condemnation. 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 Let's think about that. Condemnation is an aspect of judgment. I think all of us are aware of that, but it's good to be reminded that judgment is an important subject in the Bible. From the very beginning of the Bible, we are introduced to God as a judge. Genesis 18:25 says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Speaking of God, recognizing Abraham, recognizing God's status as a judge. And that judgment, God being a judge, involves reward, Psalm 58:11, but also punishment. And this is something that it's interesting that some people who were involved in gospel witness drew attention to. Peter did that in the book of Acts, and Paul did that. If you remember in Acts chapter 17, when Paul was there speaking about the unknown God there, there in Athens, and in Acts 17:31, as he presents the gospel based on this inscription to the unknown God, he draws attention to the fact that God is a judge. Acts 17:31 says, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. So in that gospel presentation, Paul highlights the fact that God has appointed a judgment day. And that judge is Jesus Christ. And he draws attention to that fact. And I think that's something that would be good for us as well to draw attention to. God is a judge. We're going to be held accountable for that, for our actions. And so condemnation fits into this idea of judgment in the Bible. But condemnation refers to something specific in the process of judging and judgment, and that is the sentence of judgment. And even in the Bible, it includes both the sentence and the carrying out of that sentence. I read in the paper this week that in Mount Vernon, there is a new judge that will preside beginning tomorrow over the Mount Vernon Municipal Court. One of the prosecutors has been appointed as the new judge to take the place of a judge that's retiring there. John Thatcher is his name. There was an article in the paper that gave some of his comments on the difference between being an attorney and being a judge. And he said that the biggest challenge will be making decisions and trying to do the right thing. He said, as an attorney, you advocate for your client or for the state, but as a judge, you have to weigh the evidence and make the right decisions. Simple idea, but a little bit different than being a lawyer, being an advocate for your client. Being a judge involves coming to a decision and carrying out a sentence for whatever it is that the wrong has been done. And that sentence, that decision, is the idea of condemnation in the Bible. That condemnation is an aspect of judgment, and we need to also recognize that condemnation will ultimately be revealed in the final judgment. It will ultimately be revealed in the final judgment. Matthew 25 is a passage that describes for us that final judgment, when the two different categories of people are judged and they're separated. Some are condemned with eternal fire, or some are exempt from that judgment and go to eternal life. But that's the sentence. It's that eternal fire, the carrying out of that. Matthew 25, 41 and 46 speak of that. That eternal punishment is that sentence and the carrying out of that sentence, condemnation. So that's condemnation itself. That's what we can be free from if we have a right relationship with God. Now, secondly, I'd like us to look at the character of that freedom that we see here in this text. And first of all, notice that it is a consequence of what Paul has been teaching here. Notice again at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Notice that Paul is drawing a conclusion again with the therefore. He's referring to really the overall theme of Romans again, what he has been teaching about this relationship with God. God declaring someone to be right, to be righteous because of their faith. And in light of that, he says, you can have this freedom from condemnation. And so this is another blessing, really. We looked at some of the blessings in Romans chapter 5 of justification. Here's another one. Freedom from condemnation. Freedom from that eternal sentence of death because of sin. We can be free from that. And that's because of justification. Notice also an aspect of the character of that freedom is that it is a current state. It can be a current state. There is therefore now no condemnation. The word now implies for us the reality of a former state where there was condemnation. That there was a looking forward to of that eternal sentence of death. And that reminds us of the two basic states that people are in. Not Ohio or Pennsylvania, but the status that they are in. Either they're under condemnation, under that death sentence that's going to be carried out in the future, or not. No condemnation. Those two basic states. And that freedom can be enjoyed now. There is therefore now no condemnation. Notice also an aspect of the character is that it is a complete freedom, a complete exemption. We see it says, there is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. And this is an idea that is really important in the text here. In the Greek text, the word no is the very first word of the sentence. And in the Greek language, words are emphasized by their position in the sentence. And so God is emphasizing here the completeness of this freedom. There is no condemnation. There is not a single one of any kind. No condemnation. It's not just that you can get away with the little sins and receive no condemnation, and there'll be condemnation for the big sins. That's not it at all. Whatever type of sins that warrant condemnation, the death sentence of sin, whatever they may be, for a person who is justified by faith, there is no condemnation, not a single one. And that doesn't mean that there is nothing that's worthy of condemnation in us. There certainly is. There certainly are sins that are worthy of the death sentence, the eternal death sentence. Absolutely. But because of Jesus Christ, there can be no condemnation. We will not face that condemnation, though we are indeed worthy of that condemnation. So the character of the freedom, it's a consequence of justification. It can be a current state, and it's complete. It's a complete exemption. No possibility in the future of facing condemnation. So we've seen the condemnation itself, what exactly we are free from, and then the character of that freedom. And then thirdly, I'd like us to see the recipients of the freedom. The recipients of the freedom. We see here in this text a description of the people that receive, that can receive this no condemnation, this exemption from the death sentence of sin. First thing we see about these recipients is that they are connected to Christ. They are connected to Christ. Notice the text again. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. That's the description of the recipients. People that are in Christ Jesus. That little phrase is used all throughout the New Testament, epistles especially, to describe what we call our union with Christ. Being in Christ Jesus is the matter of being connected to Him, to be closely associated with Him, to be one with Him. That's union with Christ. And we are in Him, 1 Corinthians 15:22, as our representative. It says, for in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And so our connection there makes us to enjoy the benefits that Christ has provided. It makes us to enjoy His righteousness. Romans chapter 6 talks about our being baptized by the Spirit into Christ so that we enjoy the benefits of His death, of His burial, of His resurrection, so that we could say whatever happens to Him gets applied to us as well. That's union with Christ. And we see a description of how that works here in Romans chapter 8, specifically in verses 3 and 4. It says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so the idea there is that our obedience to the law is not enough. But Christ, in His perfect obedience, enables us to have no condemnation. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our way that we can receive this no condemnation. We are connected to Him, and through His perfect life, we also can enjoy this declaration of no condemnation. When I graduated from college, one of the things that they did, the school did in the ceremony, of course you have to wear your cap and gown and everything, but I also received a medal. And I forget exactly what it was called, but, you know, it's something I wore, you know, as we marched down the aisle to receive the diplomas. But the reason I received this medal was because I was a child of graduates of the school. My parents went to the same school. And so because of my relationship to my parents as a child, I got this medal. And I remember thinking, you know, I just graduated from school. You know, I just put in all this work and I'm receiving this medal because of something I didn't do at all. My parents went here and so they're giving me a medal. But, you know, I got to enjoy that and there was a banquet that we got to go to, all the people that were graduates of graduates at the school. But you know, I didn't get that because of anything that I did there at school. I had done nothing to earn that medal, to participate in the banquet. And in the same way, we receive benefits from justification, not because of anything that we've done. We receive these benefits because of a relationship that we enjoy with Christ. That's why we receive the benefits, because we are in Christ. When we put our faith in Him, we are united to Him, and we enjoy His righteousness and His death and His burial. Look forward to His resurrection. It's because of that relationship, not because of anything we've done. It's because of Christ that we can receive the status of no condemnation. And then we look at the last phrase here in this text. It says another description of these recipients. Not only are they connected to Christ, but it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we see the recipients are connected to Christ, and here we see that they display certain evidence. They display certain evidence. Again, we need to remind ourselves, the evidence is not the cause for the exemption from condemnation. We don't earn no condemnation by a certain lifestyle. That's not how we do it. This description is not describing a reason for people to receive no condemnation. That's not how it works. That's opposed to the whole point of Romans. Justification is by faith. And so what we see here at the end of this text is a description of the evidence, not the cause, the evidence. And the evidence is in the walk. Those who walk not after the flesh. The idea of a walk is just a picture of living as a journey, as walking a certain way. And that journey, that lifestyle should conform to the right standard of living. It says it should not be according to the flesh. Not according to the flesh. And the idea of the flesh is just the human nature apart from God's influence. Prone to sin, opposed to God. And a lot of different things can be a part of that. A spirit of self-reliance, even in our thinking of our relationship with God, because of my own obedience to the law. That's described as a fleshly sort of thinking. There's a list in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, that includes all different kinds of things. Sometimes we think of the flesh as our bodily urges, and it includes those. But also included is idolatry, hatred, wrath, envying, and heresies. A lot of different things go into that mentality of fleshly living. But these things should not be the standard of our living. What should be the standard? It should be according to the Spirit. Not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. According to the Spirit's will, as He reveals in the Word. So this is the evidence that these recipients of freedom should display. We mentioned that Romans 6 and 7 is kind of Paul's explanation of dealing with sin in a believer's life. And Romans chapter 8, verse 1 is certainly connected to that. I think it's important for us to realize that one of the foundational keys to living a life that is pleasing to God, that is avoiding sin in the believer's life, is this understanding that's taught here in Romans 8:1. And that is a proper understanding of who you are as a Christian. A proper understanding of your position. And our Christian living flows out of that. Our Christian life is enabled by understanding our position before God is no condemnation. And that's through nothing that we can earn. And Paul intersperses that idea even in Romans 6 and 7. He comes back and repeats it again. Verse 8, remember this position, know who you are. And the idea is live that way. Live according to who you are. So the life that is pleasing to God is started by an understanding of your position. And then it involves recognizing what is the proper standard, not the flesh, but the Spirit. So this life is enabled by a proper understanding of justification and its results. So the recipients of the freedom, they're connected to Christ. And so that means they enjoy His work for them, and they display this evidence. Back to George Wilson. What happened to George Wilson? He was issued a pardon. On October 21st, 1830, he declined the pardon. He said, I don't want that. And so the courts didn't know quite sure what to do with that, and so the case eventually was examined by the U.S. Supreme Court. And this was their ruling. A pardon is a deed to the validity of which delivery is essential, and the delivery is not complete without acceptance. Chief Justice John Marshall pronounced that the value of a pardon must be determined by the receiver. It has no value apart from that which the receiver gives it. Therefore, George Wilson must die, and he was executed for his crime. He refused the pardon. You know, God has described for us a pardon that we can enjoy from the death sentence of sin. No condemnation, no sentence for the one who is in Christ Jesus. But the question is, are you in Christ Jesus? Do you know what it means to be right with God? And have you responded to that? By turning from sin, recognizing yourself as a sinner, and by faith, by accepting those basic truths in the Bible, that you are a sinner, that Christ is your substitute, and by depending on that personally, that's the way that you respond and receive justification and receive the pardon of no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You encourage us with this prospect that we can enjoy, this pardon, this exemption from condemnation. Oh Lord, how thankful we are that we can enjoy that. Even though our sin may bring consequences in this life, we can look forward to no condemnation in the future and even rejoice in that right now. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to display the evidence of those who have been justified. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Give us the grace that we need to live in that way. And we thank You that we can enjoy this benefit, this blessing of our relationship with You. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.